politicians tend to, it's kind of ironic. They'll make one of their speeches, and they all like to end that speech in saying, "And God bless America." And yet when it comes to the things of God, they don't want God. America wants God's blessings, but they don't want God's standards. They want God's blessings, but they don't want God's book and the things of God. But tonight, I want to read you a quotation or two right here out of this book that I've got called America's God and Country. And I want you to listen carefully to what some of our founding fathers said. I'll give you two or three quotes, and then I'll move into the message. Patrick Henry, one of the framers of this country now, he was one of the founding fathers. Listen to what Patrick Henry had to say. "It cannot be emphasized too strongly and too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." Boy, what a profound statement. How far we've strayed from what our founding fathers intended for this country. Listen to this right here now. Fisher Ames, 1758-1808, he was a congressman from Massachusetts. He said this, "Should not the Bible regain the place it once held as a school book? Its morals are pure, its examples are captivating and noble." Well, devil don't like this, I guess. Trying to get my voice. "Its morals are pure. Its examples are captivating and noble. The reverence for the sacred book that is thus early impressed lasts long and probably, if not impressed in infancy," listen to this, "probably if not impressed in infancy, never takes firm hold of the mind." Mamas and daddies, it's good to bring your babies to the house of God. This man said that the Bible needs to have a place in the schools. And then he says this in a statement that he published in a magazine. He said, "We have a dangerous trend." This was in 1789. "We have a dangerous trend beginning to take place in our education. We've started to put more and more textbooks into our schools. We've become accustomed of late of putting little books into the hands of children containing fables and moral lessons. We're spending less time in the classroom on the Bible, which should be the principal text in our schools." Wow. Now, if a teacher mentions God, they'd probably get fired. Pitiful how far we've gone backwards in this country. Seems like we've progressed so much in higher learning, but we've gotten further and further away from God. George Washington said this, It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Just a few words from our founding fathers. Now, in Daniel chapter number 5, I want us to look here at a few verses of Scripture, and I'm going to go ahead and give you my thought for tonight. As we look at this passage of Scripture and try to learn from the example of it and from the history of it. I want to give you this thought tonight, the downfall of a nation or the downfall of a kingdom. For some reason, the people of America thinks that America is going to always stand. But listen, friend, if you study our history in recent years, friend, America's in trouble. America can't even stand against its enemies anymore. We let little old heathen people with just mediocre weapons run us around the globe. knock the twin towers down in our own country, friend. Let me tell you, the Bible is true. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And if we're going to have the blessings of God, friend, we're going to have to serve and worship God and give Him the glory that's due to His name. And God, help us in our country to get some leaders with some backbone that'll stand upon the principles and the words of this Bible right here. Oh, God, I wish we could find those kind of leaders, don't you? This particular passage of Scripture right here is about Belshazzar. Let's read a few verses in this. Beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 5 of the book of Daniel. The Bible says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king, his princes, wives, his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, his knees smote one against another. For the sake of time, we'll move on down to verse 22. He calls in the meantime, for his wise men, astrologers and Chaldeans and educated people to come and interpret the handwriting, they can't figure it out, so they call Daniel in. Daniel has a few things to say to old Belshazzar. Winding up right here what he has to say, he says in verse 22, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." We'll look at these things in a little bit. "But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before thee. Thou, thy lord's wives, concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified." Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. This is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given unto the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, for your many blessings. God, we thank you for the Word of God tonight, Lord. We pray, God, we might learn from it, Lord. God, we pray, God, you strengthen us, Lord, in the inner man from coming this way tonight, Lord. Bless, God, we pray all our needs. We'll give you glory and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we humbly ask you. Amen and amen. The first of all tonight, Belshazzar. He was a party man. He comes to the throne here after Nebuchadnezzar exits the Bible there, and he inherits this kingdom here, and he throws a big party for 1,000 of his lords. And history tells us that at the very night that he was throwing this party, that the Medes and the Persians were actually entering into the city to take that place, to overthrow it and to take his life. And he was reckless in his lifestyle. He was thoughtless when it come to the things of God and how God had given to him and blessed him with a high position in this land. First of all, tonight I want us to look at this downfall of this kingdom, this downfall of a nation, and mention first of all the leadership. The leadership. Did you know that a country can rise and fall by its leadership? There's a good example of it given to us in the Word of God right here. Not only does a country or a nation rise and fall by its leadership, friend, but let me tell you, a city, a county, a church, or your home can fall by the leadership that's in charge of it. Men, let me tell you something. You better keep your house in order. You better stay close to God and lead your children in the right direction, friend. Let me tell you, you give place to the devil, he'll take it, he'll tear your home up, he'll tear your life apart, he'll put you in ruins. Leadership. We need some godly leaders. We need godly leaders in our national positions. And if we look back at our founding fathers, friend, we had godly leaders to begin with. But as time has crept on, friend, and the devil has crept in, and we've got more ungodly men, no doubt, running this country than we've ever had before. We've got ungodly men sitting and women sitting upon the Supreme Court of this country that tells our kids you can't pray in school, that tells us that God needs to be taken off the walls of the courthouses and all these things, friend. Listen, we've gone backwards in this country because of leadership. But God help us at Liberty Baptist Church to keep godly men in the places of high positions in this church. God help us men in our homes to stay godly and to stay in a place where God can bless us and where God can use us and where we can raise our kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Raise up some kids one day to fill this pulpit, to fill these teaching positions, to keep God in this place right here. We need that. And it's going to take godly leaders. It's going to take some men with backbone. You're going to have to stand on the principles and the things of God to do that. You're going to have to separate yourself from the things of the world. You're going to have to sell out to God. Oh, listen, He's first. And listen, He won't take second place to nothing. And we owe Him. We owe Him for what He done for us on Calvary. Leadership. I want you to notice old Belshazzar, friend. First of all, he failed to look back. Listen, the Bible speaks over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 about examples. Examples. We have the whole history of us today looking backwards through the Bible right here. We have example after example after example of things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do, and a way to walk and a way to talk and a way to lead our home and our church and our country. Examples. Belshazzar, he failed to look back. Boy, now, there's some things that you might be facing. There's some decisions you might have to make in your life. And if you can find somebody else that's already gone through that situation, you can look and see how they handled it. And you might learn from it. Belshazzar, he failed to look back at old Nebuchadnezzar and see how he handled the situation in his life. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, friend, he failed. His heart got lifted in pride. He looked at the great kingdom that he had, and he got to thinking, well, look what I've done. But what he didn't realize, that God is the one that establishes kings. God is the one that establishes kingdom. God is the one that has established the United States of America, friend. And we better learn, friend, that God is in charge of this thing. Belshazzar. Oh, he just flew by history. He didn't learn. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, when he got lifted up in pride, God brought him down. God humbled him. He was out eating grass with the cows until he could realize that God was in charge of things. And He can do the same thing to you. He can do the same thing to me. He can do the same thing to anybody. And He can bring our country down if He so wants to. I want you to notice, not only did he fail to look back, but he failed to look up. He failed to look up. Let me tell you something, friend. I can't handle this thing alone. You can't handle your home alone. We need God. We need God's help. In anything, any circumstance, any situation in our life, friend, God wants to be a part of it. He wants to guide. He wants to order our steps. He wants to be in the center of attention in our homes, in our lives. Belshazzar failed to look up. It astounds me at this man right here. He had his grandfather there that he could look at and see how God had brought him down in his life and how God had forgiven him, how God had lifted him back up. And friend, he failed to realize that God was in control. He didn't look up. He didn't seek God's help, but instead he blasphemed God. He took those vessels out of the house of God in a drunken party one night. They began to drink wine out of them. What a godless man he was. He failed to look up. I want you to notice in verse 29, Daniel interprets the handwriting on the wall. Daniel told him, "Your kingdom is coming down. Your kingdom is fixing to be given to the Medes and the Persians. You weighed in the balances and found wanting. You fixing to die, boy." But I notice in verse number 29 what he did. He commanded Belshazzar. They clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, if somebody come to me and told me that, boy, the things that was told him, your kingdom's divided, you weighed in the balances and found wanting, friend, it knocked me to my knees. But it astounds me that even though all these things were proclaimed against him that night, he still was unrepentant. There was no remorse. There was no looking up. He didn't fall down and plead to God and ask Daniel to pray for him or nothing about God was mentioned. About where we're at today, isn't it? Though the hand of God comes against our country, and no doubt He has, I think America has suffered some things from the wrath of Almighty God. And yet our leaders still won't acknowledge Him, won't ask for His guidance, won't ask for His help, won't ask for His blessings. Unrepentant, a lot like old Belshazzar. He failed to look back. He failed to look up. He failed in his leadership. Let me tell you, God has given us a blessing here. God has given us life and breath today. God has blessed you with a home. He's put you in a leadership role in that home. Many of you, He's given you children to raise and grandchildren to be a light and an influence to. What kind of leaders are we? What kind of influence are you being, daddies, on your children? Mamas on your children? Grandmas, grandpas, brothers and sisters? What kind of influence, what kind of leadership are we portraying to those that are about us every day? They're looking for leadership. God's looking for some leaders. I don't want to be a failure. Belshazzar, he failed in his leadership. Instead of humbling himself under the hand of God, he became a hypocrite. He desecrated the holy things of God. You realize that we're the temple of God. We're to be holy. We're not to defile this temple with the things of this world so that God might fill us and God might use us, that we might be the leaders that we need to be. Instead of glorifying God, he grieved God. I wonder what God thinks about America today as He looks back at the godly men that was willing to lay down their life to establish this country, that we could be free to worship Him. I wonder what God thinks about America today. I wonder if we're grieving Him today. The leadership. Not only that, but the looking. The looking. God sees everything. I think a lot of times we forget the omnipresence of God. We can come to church and be real holy. But what do we do when we get outside of these walls? He sees. Belshazzar, his eyes was opened that night to some things he saw. You see, first of all, he looked at the writing that came. Can you imagine a man's hand begins to write upon the wall? He sobered up in a hurry when he saw that. He began to call for help. His knees began to, he began to shake uncontrollably with fear. Let me tell you something, friend. He was looking at some writing. We've got the same Word of God. He was looking at the Word of God, and it brought fear upon him. We ought to handle this right here with fear and reverence. This is the living Word of God. This is the most powerful book that's ever been written, that ever will be written. It is filled with truth. It's filled with holiness. It's filled with power. It's got the solution to every problem man has ever faced and ever will face, friend. It's got the words of salvation, friend. Let me tell you this Bible right here, one day we'll stand in judgment. We'll be judged out of the words of this book right here, friend. Let me tell you, friend, it ought to be handled with reverence and fear. When we read this Bible, it ought to be our heart's desire to line up with it and to be obedient to the Word of God in our lives. Looking. God sees. He looked at the writing that came. I'm glad we've got a Word that's forever settled in heaven. I'm glad it's going to forever stand even when this world is on fire. And look at old Belshazzar, friend, what he did there. When the writing came upon the wall, he began to call the astrologers. He would call his wise men, the Chaldeans. He called the soothsayers, the palm readers, or whatever you want to call them of that day. And they couldn't read it. They couldn't understand what God had written upon that wall. And then they called one Daniel, in whom was a spirit of God to come. The one who had interpreted dreams and given the things of God out to the leaders before. And what Daniel had to say. Not only did he look at the words of God, but he had to look up there as Daniel spoke to him at the wrath of God that was a-coming. Friend, let me tell you something. I don't particularly like this message. I don't particularly like being labeled a doomsday prophet. Well, let me tell you something, friend. This world's coming to an end. We're living in the day and age of grace. And when grace exits, friend, wrath is coming in. This world is going to face the wrath of Almighty God one of these days. All the God haters and all the God rejectors, all those that have ungodly spoken about Him, all those that have cursed His name and rejected Him, they're going to face the wrath of God one of these days. Over in the book of Revelation, the Bible says when the wrath of the Lamb is revealed, that's the sixth seal over there you'll find in Revelation. The Bible says that they'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to cover them and to hide them from the face for the wrath of the Lamb. What a time that's going to be. Let me tell you something. You know what's happening in America? There's a law in the Bible of sowing and reaping. Let me tell you something, friend. America has sown to the wind. And what she's going to reap is the whirlwind. That's the law in the Bible, friend. You can either reap the blessings of God or you can reap the wrath of God. It's up to us. Reaping, sowing. Better be careful what you plant. It's going to come up on you. And this thing of looking, he looked at the writing, he looked at the wrath. But only if he had looked to some wise counsel. You know what amazes me? In preaching, don't matter who's preaching, seems like the majority, the message just flies over their head. Amen? You'd be astounded at what a preacher looks at from this place right here. Let me tell you, you'd be amazed at what a preacher looks at out across an audience as he preaches. At the unconcern. Belshazzar, if he had listened to wise counsel, man, if he had just looked at Nebuchadnezzar, if he had just looked at some godly men and listened to what they had to say, he could his whole life could have been changed. But he didn't listen. God's got something to say. We better be listening to wise counsel. God didn't let you sit here in this place tonight for no reason. There's got to be something. There's got to be some reason that God let you live, breathe His good air, and come into this place tonight. He's got a word of instruction for you. And for me. You see, Daniel was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Daniel was a man who had no fear. Daniel was a man who wouldn't compromise. Daniel came into the king there that day, and the handwriting was on the wall. And Daniel, not only did he tell him what was on the wall right there, but he said, "Let me tell you something, boy. Keep all your gifts to yourself. And let me tell you what's going on right here. You didn't hearken to the things that happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You didn't look at what God done to him. And now, friend, you didn't glorify God. You drank wine out of the vessels of the house of God. And now the wrath of God has come upon you." Daniel didn't hold back. Daniel was a preacher that would tell you the truth. And when a preacher gets up and preaches the truth to you, don't get mad at him, friend. You better get right with God and get humble under the hand of God. God's trying to send you a message to help you, to divert you from trouble and from ruining your life. Daniel, he didn't party with them. He didn't want their pay. And friend, he didn't divert from preaching the truth to them. Not only the leadership, the looking in the downfall of this nation, but the line. I'm talking about a line between grace and wrath. Verse 22 and 23. Look at what he says. "Thou his son, O Belshazzar," talking about Nebuchadnezzar, "hast not humbled thine heart." Notice what he says. "Thou hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." Boy, we know a lot about the things of God. In fact, we've got more knowledge of the things of God. We live in a time of more enlightenment, I believe, than man has ever known about this Bible right here. But have we humbled our heart? He said, "But you've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, brought the vessels out of his house before thee, Thou, thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver, gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand, listen now, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Daniel brings him to a line in the sand. He failed to heed. Daniel said, you knew all this. Why didn't you act upon it? You knew it. You didn't glorify God. You failed to heed. You failed to heed. Why don't we do things different when God speaks to us? Why do we want to harden our heart and stiffen our neck when God tries to tell us something? Boy, we're rebellious. He failed to heed. He failed to humble. He fell into hell. The Bible says that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Not only did he fall into hell, but I wonder how many of his lords, how many of his family members did he lead off into a devil's hell? Because he was such a gutless, rebellious leader. Just living life for the party as he was going through. Fell into hell. The line. Wonder where America's line is. I wonder how far God's going to let America go. Wonder how far God's going to let me and you go. There's a line out there somewhere in our life. I want to be on His side when I come to that place. I don't want to go from grace to wrath. I'm glad He tells us in the Word that He's not appointed us to obtain wrath, but salvation. Listen, the downfall of a nation. Oh, that's the leaders up yonder in Washington. But what about your home? What about our church here? Hey, let me tell you something, friend. You may think you're just sitting on a pew, warming a pew, but if you're a child of God, you're a leader. Somebody's watching you. Might be some little bitty boy, some little bitty girl, but they're watching you. Might be your kids. Might be somebody else's kid, but they're watching you. Don't lead them down. In the dark days that we live in, we need some strong leadership in our homes, in our churches. And we may not ever see strong leaders in Washington again. I don't know if we'll ever see godly leaders again, but we can pray for them. And giving you one more thing right here in closing, let me show you this. I know I painted a terrible picture to you tonight, but listen to this. In chapter 6, the Bible says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. God took care of his own. God took care of his own. God's going to take care of us. No matter how dark the day, if we'll stay faithful to Him, He's going to take care of His children. And I'll tell you how He's going to fix it all. He's going to come out of glory one of these days soon with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And we're getting up, and we're getting out of here. How do I know that? Because I've got the Word right here. It says that's the way He's going to do it. I've got the Word that points me, shows me clearly that we're in the last days. Friend, Jesus is soon to come. I want you to come gather around this altar, especially you men. I want you to gather around this altar if you can make your way up here tonight. Ladies, men, wonder if you'd ask God to help you to lead your family in a better way. Wonder if you'd like to rededicate yourself to God and try to be a better leader. Try to be a better ambassador of Christ as you go through this life. We need revival every day of our life. We need strong leaders in our homes, in our churches, in our country. Pray for our country. We may not like the leaders, but let's pray God would convict them. Save them if they're lost. Pray for our children. Pray that God would help us.